Welcome to the ASReml tutorial session 2.2, where we're going to look at the SIRE model applied to a traditional dataset, the Harvey dataset, which Walter Harvey distributed many years ago with his program that was widely used for estimation of genetic parameters. In this session, we will just look at it with respect to a SIRE model. In session 2.3, we will analyse the same data under an animal model, but the SIRE model is easier to work with, and we'll start with that first. So we begin by looking at the data file. This data file, space separated, the first column is an identity of the individual which has the record, the second column is the number or the identity of the SIRE, the dam is unknown, so its identity is zero. The SIRES represent three lines, and so we have the line coded. We do know the age of the dam, and so that's there as 3, 4, or 5. And there are three variables, which I've called ADG, age, and weight. At this stage, I forget what the original names of these variables was. We have on the end an extra column, which ASReml will ignore if we don't give it a name when we're reading it in. There are 65 individuals representing 9 SIRES. The summary of those is 9 SIRES representing 3 lines. There are 8 progeny for SIRE 1, 8 progeny for SIRE 2, 5 progeny for SIRE 3, and that's line 1. 8 for SIRE 4 and 7 for SIRE 5, representing line 2. 6 for SIRE 6, 8 progeny for SIRE 7, 7 progeny for SIRE 8, 8 progeny for SIRE 9, representing line 3. The basic ASReml job has a heading line, which we've said Harvey test data. We list the columns, animal, sire, dam, line, dam age, ADG, age and weight, and we want the sire and the line to be treated as factors, and so we have there the number, 9 and 3 respectively, and those numbers are appropriate because in the data the sires are coded 1 through to 9 and the lines are coded 1, 2 and 3. The data file is harvey.dat. It doesn't actually have headings in the data file, so there's no skip one qualifier there. And the basic model that will fit is ADJ, average daily gain, modelled as the mean, line effects, dam age as a covariate, and random term sire. So we create that harvey.as file and run the job. And we're looking at various parts of it. The data summary shows that the SIRE IDs, which were just read in as numbers because we're not using them in this analysis, range from 101 to 165. SIRE is a factor with 9 levels. The dam is all zeros. Line is a factor with 3 levels. Dam age has 3 different values, 3, 4 and 5. ADJ ranges from 144 to 206 with an average of 176, etc. Now, when we specify the model, mu, line, dam age, that as the fixed effects, that sets up our design matrix X. And X has 5 columns, 1 for mu, 3 for line, and 1 for dam age. The order that it actually creates that is actually in the reverse order. But let's just not focus on that first. Mu is a column of 1s. Of the 3 columns that define the factor line, because of the order in which these things appear. The first of those columns has ones for line 1 and zeros for the animals that are not in line 1. The second column has ones for the animals in line 2 and zeros for the others. The third column has ones for the animals in line 3 and otherwise 0. The thing you might note is that if you add those three columns together, you'll have a column of ones, and that matches the column mu. So this generates a singularity when we come to fit the model. In other words, we will only get 2 degrees of freedom for line after we've fitted the mean mu. The covariate dam age is just a copy of the vector of dam ages. Because of the singularity, ASReml will set the second effect to zero. Now, the random design is the matrix Z. It has 9 columns, and it's all zeros, except that each column has ones in it, indicating the sire of the individual. So the first 8 rows of Z have a 1 in column 1. The next 8 have a 1 in column 2. And the next 5 have a 1 in column 3, etc. So the variance model that we're going to fit has a scaling residual variance times an identity for independent residuals, and then a variance ratio for the size of the sire variance relative to the residual variance times the product Z dash of the design matrix for sires. What this means is that the matrix ZZ dash, it's a 65 by 65 matrix. It has an 8 by 8 block of ones, then an 8 by 8 block of ones as the next diagonal block, a 5 by 5 block of ones as the next diagonal block, an 8 by 8 as the next diagonal block, and so forth to define that matrix. And that is because the individuals that have the same sire have a covariance between them because of they share the common sire. How big that covariance is determined by the parameter gamma, which is expressed in this situation as relative to the residual variance. So the sire variance is gamma times sigma squared e. Now, because we're talking about sires in this case, then we can project to an underlying genetic model and say that the additive genetic variance is 4 times the sire variance, or the sire variance is a quarter of the additive genetic variance. This is because the individual receives half of its genes from its sire. There is a non-genetic variance component, which is the residual variance minus 3 times the sire variance. Or the observed residual variance is the non-genetic variance plus 3/4 of the additive genetic variance. Now, this discussion about additive genetic variance and environmental variance is a projection based on the interpretation of the sire effects as being additive genetic effects. Well, we fit the model. And the log likelihood, we get a number, minus 188.777. The residual variance is 132.7. The 61 degrees of freedom is 65 observations less the 4 degrees of freedom that we fitted in the model. There were 5 columns of X, but one was singular, so that means we've explained 4 degrees of freedom, and 65 minus 4 gives 61. And the variance ratio is 0.21. This leads us to a variance component table, and that table has a row for sire and a row for the variance. There were 9 sires, there were 65 observations for the data, so that's the order of that matrix. The variance ratio on a relative scale was 0.217, and if we multiply that by the residual variance, then we get 28.89 as the variance, sire variance, and 132.7 as the residual variance. There is another column there, comp/SE, which gives an idea of the size of that variance component relative to its standard error. This is not there as a to form a test statistic, but it is useful for giving you an idea of the relative magnitude of that component. If the component is very small, if that ratio is say 0.2, then it's very likely that dropping that term would not result in a significant change in the log likelihood. If it is large, greater than 2, then it's very likely that it has a major effect, and that dropping that variance component from the model would have a large effect on the log likelihood. The formal way to test whether a component is needed in the model is essentially to drop the term out and to compare the log likelihoods. But when you follow that process, you need to ensure that you do not change the fixed effects in the model at the same time, because changing fixed effects can change the log likelihood as well. So, back in terms of our parameterization, gamma is 0.217, sigma squared E is 132.7, the sire variance is 28.89. Now, if we want to work out what the genetic parameters are, the sigma squared A, the additive genetic variance, well, we know what calculations we want to perform. We want to multiply the sire variance by 4. And ASRML has a way of doing this by post-processing in creating a PIN file. And I've created an example PIN file to do this here. The first 2 lines are just comments to say that the first number in this table was the sire variance component and the second number was the residual. So the phenotypic variance is the sum of those 2 terms, and so the line F, which means calculate a function of the variance components, FenVar is the name of the thing that we want to calculate, 1 and 2 implicitly means 1 plus 2, in other words sire plus residual, and that defines our phenotypic variance. The genetic variance is 4 times the sire variance. So the function we calculate on the next line is 1, in other words the sire variance, times 4, where 4 point is the number that the sire variance is to be multiplied by. And then we can calculate the heritability, and the H says calculate the heritability. Herit is the name. 4 is the numerator, which is GenVar, and 3 is the denominator, which is FenVar. Then we run this. If that file is called harvey.pin, and our job was called Harvey, so that the various output files that ASRML has in the directory have Harvey as their base name, then if we run ASRML minus P Harvey, it will read the PIN file, extract the information from the ASR file and various other files to calculate the variance components that we're interested in, the genetic parameters. And we show the output here, the phenotypic variance 161.7, that's 28 plus 132, and the genetic variance 115 is 4 times the 28.9, and then the heritability is the ratio of the second of those numbers, 115 divided by 161, is 0.715, with a standard error of 0.58. So we've done a genetic analysis in the traditional form using ASReml. We might be interested in the blups, and these are obtained from the SLN file, and so there will be a list of effects, and which are the predicted values for the SIRE effects. You'll notice that within lines they sum to zero. So the first three numbers sum to zero, the next two, numbers 4 and 5, have opposite sign, and the last four sum to zero. This is because it's a simple model, and B, because line as a factor was included in the analysis. We get an analysis of variance in the ASR file. It reports for us the stratum degrees of freedom and stratum variances obtained from the analysis, and we have an analysis of variance table showing the numerator and denominator degrees of freedom. Mu and line have 5.9 denominator degrees of freedom because they are basically based on contrasts between the sires. There were 9 sires. We've taken out 4 degrees of freedom, but the whole system was not balanced, so the computations lead us to a denominator degrees of freedom of 5.9. And the sum of squares there, we take out the mean variation, it's an incremental sum of squares. We take out the line variation, which has an F value of 6, and the dam age is not significant, with an F value of 0.62. We can look in the SLN file also for the effects, and we notice that these are in reverse order, as I intimated before. The dam age effect at minus 1.478 with a standard error. The line effects, and notice that line 1 has an effect of 0 because it was singular. Mu is not actually an estimate of the overall mean, it is in fact an estimate of the value for line 1, and line 2 value would be a deviation from that. And of course there would need to be a correction for dam age as well. So to actually get some real values of what the line effects are, we need a predict statement, and we give here a predict statement, predict line, and show the values that are produced by that. Coincidentally, the mu effect of 183.5 actually corresponds to the line 3 predicted mean, and this is because if we take about 4 times the minus 1.48, the dam age effect, with an average dam age of around 4, it more or less cancels with the line 3 effect of 6.5, and so we end up with the line 3 predicted mean actually corresponding to the mu that we fitted in the model. In other words, normally you can't interpret the effects so much, you need to do the prediction to see what's going on. Similarly, if we want to predict the SIRE means and add the line effects back in, then we will use a predict statement that says predict SIRE present SIRE line, and that will add the SIRE effects to the appropriate line effects to give us a set of predicted SIRE means. So you might try and find the harvey.as or harvey.dat file and run that job and see if you can create the PIN file and produce those results as well.